is the Kevin Shi Show.
Hello, welcome to the Kevin Shi Show. I'm your host, Kevin Shi. I'm all the way in Lisbon, Portugal right now, part of my 45 days tour around Europe. I came from UK, and then went up to Scotland. Now I'm in Portugal, and I may be going to Switzerland next. Despite COVID, I think if you take your personal hygienes and you practice social distancing, you'll be fine. I met a many interesting people in this tour, and the hotels are quite empty as far as many places, no lineups. It's great to travel if you don't mind the COVID thing, which I think you have to be flexible in your timing. But anyways, despite my travel, I'm always keeping up with my podcast. Today we have a great show. Alan Miss, the founder of Cashflow Story. He's an expert on cash flow management for your business. I think he has a lot of value for my listeners. So enjoy the show. Thank you.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Kevin Shi Show. I'm your host, Kevin Shi, all the way in Lisbon. Today we have a very famous guest in Melbourne right now. He is the founder of Cashflow Story and a well-known keynote speaker in the area of cash flow management and as well as a regular speaker in Ye Olde. We have Alan Mitz. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Evan, well, amazing. Well, I'm in Melbourne at the moment, which is in lockdown. We've been in lockdown for longer than any city in the world.
Is the lockdown in Melbourne? How strict is it?
Most businesses are shut unless you're termed an essential business. You're not allowed to travel more than 5 kilometers in your car.
Wow.
You're not allowed visitors in your home. And maximum, you can have 1 hour a day outside of the home to exercise.
Wow. And what's the penalty?
$1,600 if you're caught.
Well, that's a lot of money. Yes.
It's incredible. Australia used to be such an open place, but they really determined to wipe this virus out. And being an island, you know, you've got the capacity to basically eliminate it. So that's what they're trying to achieve.
Well, I hope you all the best, and I hope we'll be much better soon when we get this stupid COVID thing out of the way in the coming months.
Thank you.
So can you give us a bit of background about yourself and what you do and how you became in terms of cash flow expert?
So my background is I'm a chartered accountant by training. I went to school and university in South Africa. And I grew up in the beautiful city of Cape Town, which I recommend to all the viewers. It's probably the most beautiful city in the world. And have you been to Cape Town?
No, but I have friends. You know, John Sine, he's another speaker in Singularity. And his accent sounds like yours, because I was wondering, your accent, it's not really Australian. That's why I was a bit...
I was brought over about 30 years ago by a clothing company called Esprit. And I was involved when Esprit set up in Australia, because my family in South Africa was very involved in the footwear industry. We were the biggest ladies' footwear manufacturer in South Africa. And we made upmarket ladies' shoes, including Bally, the Swiss brand Bally.
Wow.
We were the biggest alley factory outside of Switzerland.
Okay.
And I set up Esprit Footwear when I came. So I'm a chartered accountant who was designing shoes.
Wow.
It's a strange thing.
Yes.
And today I've still got the passion for fashion. Absolutely love it still. Sorry, Esprit is the clothing brand.
Yes. It's very popular in Hong Kong. The stock was very famous. It's like a super stock back in the late 90s or early 2000. I hope you made some money during that super run when it went like sky high.
You know what it was? When I arrived, Esprit was a lifestyle brand, a true lifestyle brand for people who loved the outdoors and who wanted to be cool. But I mean, fashion changes so quickly. So after leaving Esprit, I did a lot of work advising companies in the textile, clothing, and footwear sector. And I got together with two other South African accountants who had emigrated. And we were basically the key advisors to the industry, because Australia had import duties and quotas, and we couldn't compete if you didn't have protection. And I realized wherever I went, no one understood the numbers. It was unbelievable.
What are some of the common misunderstanding of business owners that you see in the numbers that makes gets them into trouble?
Everyone looks at profit. And okay. A profit, we look at our revenue, our margins, our profit, and we think we understand the story. But a story is told over four chapters. Profit is one of the chapters. So imagine reading a mystery novel and you read chapter one and then you say, I wonder what happened in the end. The problem what that's happening in business is CEOs are reading their chapter one, their profit over and over, and they think they understand their business. But the answer of a business is cash flow, which is actually chapter four of the story.
Yes.
So just going back, the three of us started a technology company about 20 years ago to create a standard for business, banks, and accountants. And we raised private equity from Australia's wealthiest family because every bank was using Moody's or S&P as their credit engine. And we actually believed we could do something more innovative than these two monopolies, these two absolute icons of the industry. And we took them on. And after about 15 or 16 years, we sold the company. And today it's probably one of the biggest banking systems in the world. It's used by about 300 of the global banks. So many of the key brands in Asia use my system to analyze credit.
What's the system called?
We call the system Optimist,
okay.
But the company who owns the product is FIS out of the US.
FIS, yes.
Yeah, which is one of the biggest banking systems in the world. So all I know is we created a methodology that's still being used and it's still being rolled out globally. After selling our first business, two of the three founders said, our real passion is helping business love the numbers. And that's how Cashflow Story became a product.
Can you explain what Cashflow Story is and how can it help the ordinary business owners?
The numbers are prepared by an accountant in a company. And we as accountants, so I'm laughing at myself and the profession, the more complex we make it, the more sophisticated we think we are as a person.
Yes.
One of the great leaders in Asia, who's one of my mentors today, was the ex-head of OCBC Bank.
Okay.
And he always said to me, Alan, as a leader, L stands for listen. Mm-hmm. And listen has the same letters as silent. And when you listen, listen with E, with empathy. Take off your shoes and put on the shoes of the person you're talking to. So when we developed Cashflow Story, we took off our shoes as accountants and we put on the shoes of a CEO, of an executive person in the management team. And we said, imagine if we can explain the numbers to you in storytelling way. And as I said, a story is told over four chapters.
Yes.
Chapter one is profit. Mm-hmm. Chapter two is your working capital. In other words, how quickly people pay you, how much inventory you hold, or in a service company, how quickly you invoice the work and how you pay the suppliers. The result of your business is cash. Mm-hmm. Your business is like a sporting match. There's a score called cash. What we need to do is teach your management team how to read the score and how to play the game better.
And that's, I see.
And we've called that the power of one. How many 1% changes do you need to make in the way you're running your business to achieve your ideal organization?
Many of the smaller companies, me included, when we first started out, we operate from what we call a shoebox model. We don't really know where the money's coming from, but whenever we receive cash, we put it in a shoebox. And when we need to pay somebody, we take the money out from the shoebox. It takes a lot of courage for us to hire like a professional CFO or a person, because when you're starting out, it costs money. When do you advise like a small business taking off to start taking, getting a CFO, a good one? And what do you, how should a small company like morph into this like proper managed cash flow situation?
Good question. You can always outsource your accounting. Okay. If you're too small, find an outsourced organization, whether they outsource CFO or bookkeeper who can do your work in the early times. But my message to every CEO, if you don't know your story, you'll be making decisions that can have a negative impact on your business. And Kevin, my other message is going through your head every day is what can I do in the seven levers of the power of one? There are only seven things a company can do to improve their cash and their profit. So I'm just going to go through them quickly because this is the DNA of every business. Price, volume, cost of goods, overheads, how quickly you collect receivables, how many days inventory you hold, or in a service company, how quickly you invoice the work you do, and how you pay suppliers. So what every CEO, what every management team should be doing is having in front of them their power of one, and then questioning themselves with every transaction, which of those seven levers can we pull to change the performance? It's these little 1% changes that will make you into a much better company.
Thank you. The power of one, I think, is the centerpiece of the cash flow story that I remembered. And yes, it's hard for us to make big improvement at one time, but 1%, if you delegate to your staff or to your manager, it doesn't seem so hard. And then through the power of one, it compounds. So it's not 1 + 1 + 1, but it's like, it's a compound effect. And then the improvement will be much bigger when you combine everything together. Is that right?
And if you get more sophisticated in your company, you can make the power of one into a more micro item. So for example, I helped a large footwear retail chain. And the owner came to me and said, everyone thinks we make so much money, but we don't. How do I explain it to my people? And I said to the owner, just the following basic, how many pairs of shoes do you sell a year? He said, 800,000 pairs. I said, that's a lot. I said, what's your profit? He said, $800,000. I said, you make $1 a pair of shoes profit. They sell a pair of shoes for $175. They make a 61% margin. Everyone thinks that the margin is the profit they make. And then you start to gamify your business. You start to show the staff, do you know we're only making $1 a pair? Tell me how we're going to make $5 a pair. What levers can we change in the power of a shoe to make an extra $4 a pair? Because you might have 500 different styles you're selling. Who says the average selling price should be 175? Maybe it's 177.50. Maybe we can get 50 cents off the actual suppliers. Maybe we can renegotiate 20 cents per shoe from our retail tenancy costs. So what you need to do is gamify your business.
I see.
Your business is a sporting match. It's a score. Teach your people how to read the score and teach them how to play the game better through the power of one.
Thank you. Sometimes for entrepreneurs to get big, it takes courage to borrow money or to take on investors. But over-leveraging is dangerous. What's your take on that? Should a company borrow massively to grow or take on investors? Or what's your take? Because that's part of cash flow too.
Cash flow is the result of a business. People need cash when they grow.
Yes.
So when you're growing, you need cash. Or when your business is shrinking, you need cash. But people also need cash if your management team isn't making the right decisions. So what I'm saying to companies, I've got no problem if we're borrowing to grow. I've got a major problem if we're borrowing to fund margins decreasing, overheads growing too quickly, people not paying us on time. So as I said to you, we got to teach the people the power of one. Make sure your company's running in color code green And then if we're going to borrow, the bank is your partner. So in other words, what I say to every company, funding equals operations. Funding is either debt, the bank, or you equity. The bank doesn't understand your business, but the bank understands budgeting and forecasting. If you can demonstrate to the bank that their money is in a safe set of hands, banks are amazing to deal with. I love banks. But banks are focused on one thing, debt service capacity. Can you repay them? So that's all about cash flow.
Okay. Among the seven indicators that you had before, I remembered that price is more important than cost cutting in general. I think I've been to one of your classes. Is that true?
Every company will have their own unique power of one. But if I had to make a generalization, price is a gift that never stops giving. So you put your prices on, it goes straight to your bottom line, and it's got a multiplier impact on your valuation as well. And price obviously impacts your cash flow more powerfully than any other lever. So my answer is price is normally the most sensitive. However, you need to workshop. And every 3 months, I workshop with the management team, the seven levers.
Okay. There are many businesses that you need to give credit to your customers. And I've often meet a lot of entrepreneurs that the bigger the company becomes, the more cash strapped they are because they need to fund that growth. Versus some business like mine, for example, because like I do storage and every time I grow, I ask customers to prepay me where I hold a check and I pay my supplier or my construction guys like 30 days later. What's your advice for people who needs to input more money in order to grow their business? How can they reverse that or make it more smooth? Because they seem pretty stressed when they grow. And I think it's the structure of their business.
You've actually answered the question yourself. if I'm going to grow, customer, every business has got a brand promise.
Yes.
I would go to my customer and say to them, we're going to give you the best product, the best service. The only thing I'm asking you for is to be paid on time within 30 days. Can you please put me in touch with your financial controller so we can explain our rules? But normally the salesperson makes the sale. They don't tell the customer how to pay them or the rules. And when the amount is overdue, that's when we call the customer. What I'm saying is right up front, tell the customer your rules. No one's going to say, I'm not going to pay you on time. It's the way we educate the customer. So it's bad. It's one of the signs of bad management if we start to drag out our collections.
I see. Right now, we're in a great time of change and turbulence because of this COVID. Many business owners are suffering, especially the restaurants, the pubs, or like event organizers. What are your general advice on people how they should go through this COVID? Because it's quite uncertain.
It's such, you know, everyone's using this word called pivot. It's such an easy word to tell. Why don't you pivot? The answer is some businesses are not that easy to pivot. And that's why if companies had listened to my advice for the last 15 years, build up a fortress balance sheet. The advice I'm giving to every company now, don't waste a great crisis. The world is on sale. So to those companies who absolutely loved cash flow management and who have built up this fortress balance sheet are going to survive better. I watched a very interesting YouTube documentary the other day, which compared what happened to the world after Spanish flu and then extrapolating what's going to happen to the world from COVID. So when Spanish flu ended in the early 1920s, 50 million had died. That's the equivalent of 250 million today. The world then went through its greatest boom period called the Roaring 20s. My feeling is the world's going to go through a boom period after COVID as governments will spend their way out of this crisis. I'm yes. saying to organizations, if you get your people, your strategy, your execution, and your cash absolutely nailed, it's going to be exciting times. So I am so excited for the future.
What's the documentary called? Maybe my listeners and I can watch it later.
You don't even know. I just Googled.
Okay.
Google what's happened comparing Spanish flu economy after COVID, and I'm sure a whole lot of documentaries will come up.
It was on Netflix? Did you watch it on Netflix?
YouTube. It was just a 20-minute YouTube. Someone had made a little documentary in it. And I listened to it and I thought, the whole world is full of pessimism.
Yes.
However, I'm optimistic. I really believe if you can apply your common sense today, and more than ever before, start to aim to love the numbers, build this fortress balance sheet, because that will open up so many doors. You know, Vern Harnish, I gave a talk for Vern Harnish in one of the big forums a few weeks ago, and Vern said very eloquently, you can survive with good people, good strategy, good execution, but run out of cash and it's game over.
Yes, it's very important.
And I'm saying to your listeners, build up a fortress balance sheet. Don't become profit focused. Become focused on the four chapters. Your story is told over four chapters. Read your full book and you'll become a better company.
Thank you very much, Alan, for coming on my podcast. If my listeners wants to know more about you or use your service, how can they contact you and what service do you have on Cashflow Story?
Well, firstly, Cashflow Story today is being used in 96 countries around the world.
That's great.
Just Google Alan Miltz and send me an email through my website. So alan@cashflowstory.com. Send me an email and I'm sure we can help your listeners. We are passionate about what we do.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's great to have you here. And I hope to see you in Hong Kong soon. You have a lot of fans in Hong Kong in our EO membership.
I absolutely love it. And the Hong Kong economy is missing out because I'm a big spender when I go there.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. For details on this episode, go to kevinshee.com. That's Kevin, SHEE.com.